And Linda, I'm an alcoholic. And I'm going to introduce our speaker, Maria B., tonight, who we've been friends for 40 years, and we were actually drinking buddies back in the day. So I've known her for a long time, and I actually got sober first. And but in order for us to, we didn't see each other for a few years, and then in order for us to be friends again, until she was actually ready to get in the program, she just made a decision that she would use or drink in my presence or in the presence of my children. So eventually she did follow me in and has been a working and living example of what this program offers. She just picked up her 29th year chip, June 1st. And with that, I'm going to give you Maria.
Hi, I'm Maria, and I'm an alcoholic. Somehow I escaped ever telling my story, so I'm a little nervous. This is the first time I'm telling my story. Actually, when I was on my way here and I was praying, I was running late, so I want to apologize for that. It was piss poor planning on my part. But I saw a double rainbow, and I knew this was meant to be because my story is my story. We all have our stories. So I said I would start it by saying, I was born. I was born in 1954, and my mom said to me, you were born during a time when life was very busy for me, and I really didn't have a lot of time for you. But you were such a good baby. So I can see today where back then my brain was already screwed up because I focused on I wasn't important, my mother didn't have time for me. I also, at the age of 4 or 5, was asked to always look after my brother who was 4 years older than me because he was very high-strung and got in a lot of trouble. So I became his shadow and his rescuer. But that put me at the wrath of a 4-year older brother that was annoyed and on many occasions threatened to kill me and beat me up. And that I actually told my mother when I was around 4 or 5 that there was no way I came from that family. I knew it, and I knew that they were crazy. So my mom had to show me my birth certificate, and I knew that she had that she was still lying. So I already had put myself as the outsider who didn't belong, who wasn't important in my life. When we were about 5, we moved, and my mom went back to work and again left me with my brother, who proceeded to abuse me even worse. And all the kids in the neighborhood knew my brother as Crazy Louie. And unfortunately, it was a very mixed up relationship I had with my brother. He was also the one that when I cried would hug me and comfort me and seem to understand me. So I really looked up to him quite a bit. And I had to put up with a lot of the kids always referring to me as Crazy Louie's little sister. And it felt like to me that I really didn't exist, that I was just always in the shadow of my brother. And even though many years later my mom explained it to me, I still felt that I didn't belong. When I was about 8 years old, I would say that I discovered alcohol. It was rather innocently done. My aunt threw a party, and we saw how happy they were, and we decided that we wanted to know what that was like. So, of course, the manipulator that I could be offered to clean up. Every glass that had alcohol in it, I drank, and so did my cousin. And I would say that was my first experience with alcohol. Got tipsy, thought it was fun, and looked forward to those occasions to drink. And, of course, being Italian, it was also allowable that on Sundays we were allowed to have wine that Grandpa made in soda. So I can see how I was already being set up to think that alcohol was going to make me a happy person and make me feel like I belonged. You know, there was also, you know, it being in an Italian family, we never say things like, "Hey, could you take the garbage out?" It was always more like, "Hey, can you take the garbage out? It's got to go out." So, you know, everything was yelled at. You know, even if it was, you know, even in life, if I did something that was good, it was, "Oh, yeah, that's pretty nice, Maria, but we could do a little bit better, couldn't we?" So I just never felt like I measured up. I would say it was probably around in my early adolescence that my brother decided that he would molest me. And I had already experienced that at a younger age by him. And I spoke up for myself and I said, "You can't do this to me. And if you do this to me, I will tell Mommy." So my brother left it at that. But apparently manipulation was something that was a learned behavior. And he said, "As long as you allow me to have free access to your girlfriends, I'll leave you alone." So as I got into adolescence, I also would watch my dad drink. My mom, she always claimed she didn't drink, but she would, in the middle of the night, get up and guzzle vodka. And I didn't really realize this, but every time she and I went to the liquor store, it was always whiskey for my father and vodka for somebody, you know? Who it was, I'm not sure. But I actually suppressed that memory until she passed away many years later. And then, as I said, I was in adolescence, and, you know, if I had cramping or anything like that, my mom gave me a shot of whiskey before I went on the school bus. And she'd say, "That'll make you feel better." By the time I walked to the bus, I lived in New York, so we had to take public buses, we had a pass. Man, I was really feeling pretty good. You know, and I would say, I don't know if I want the whiskey. It tastes horrible. She said, oh, hold your nose, and that's how you drink it. I was like, oh, great. Now I know how to drink the hard stuff. I'm really thinking, wow, this is pretty cool. So I was probably about 13, and kids were making fun of me at school. Kids are bullies. That's what they do. Being Italian, I had a Roman nose. So they used to say to me, nose, nose, anything goes. Make your nose into a water hose. Oh, my goodness. I hated it. I could not stand it. So that's after the seventh grade, I was went on vacation, and this guy had a crush on me, and I really didn't like him. So, of course, I liked some other guy, and we were walking upstate New York on vacation, and this particular guy decided he was going to get even because I rejected him. So he tried to run us over. And I barely escaped with my life. I could actually feel the heat and the pebbles coming up from his front bumper. And this guy was pulling me. I ran right out of my shoes. And he pulled me and he said, jump! And I jumped off a cliff. Went down the cliff, hit the rocks, went under a log, boom, stopped by my nose. Couldn't be any happier. A couple of weeks later when they told me I had to get my nose fixed. Well, all the kids knew in eighth grade was Maria looked different. They never said hose, hose, anything goes anymore, so I was pretty happy about that. And found that guys were actually attracted to me, and then this one guy came into the neighborhood, and he was probably 3 or 4 years older than me, and he chose me. Wow. Somebody chose me over my other friends. So that was exciting. I married him. Somebody paid me attention. He rescued me from the situation that I was in. We would also drink whiskey. I don't know, people like whiskey for some reason, Scotch whiskey, and I could still remember holding my nose and drinking it, but it didn't stop me from drinking. And to back up a little bit, this was the 70s. I also got into hallucinogenics and drugs. My mother left me with a lot of freedom to go places, and it was just a free-for-all. We took a 26-year-old with us as our chaperone, but she didn't ever stop us from doing anything, so we just, you know, drank ourselves silly and did hallucinogenics. So that was probably when I was about between 16 and 17. 18, I married what I call my first husband, was my first child molester, my second child molester. I mean, really, he, in those days, if you love me, you'll prove it to me. So I changed who I was, or thought I should be, to make somebody happy, because they were going to be my knight in shining armor and rescue me from the life that I didn't want to have. Well, that didn't work out very well. Within a few years, I'm going to back up just a wee bit more. After I got the nose fixed, my mom was given tranquilizers. They said, you got to keep your daughter calm. It makes her heal faster. So my mother gave me tranquilizers. If I was going out dancing and I was getting nervous because I was late, I would be given a tranquilizer. I also knew that if I went to a liquor store and paid somebody $5 to go buy me a bottle, and most of the time they just bought it for me anyway. And my friends and I would drink until the bottle was gone. And here I am in a Catholic school dance, drunker than a skunk. The police got me, and all I could do was go, nobody loves me. Nobody loves me. My mother got there. They put me in the back seat over all my friends. The next day, my dad took me out and bought me a drink and put it in front of me and said, you want a drink? Go right ahead. Well, by then, I had been puking my brains out all night, so I had no desire at that time. But again, that was never enough to stop me. I eventually, as I said, married this guy, and the first weekend of our marriage, he took off, said you're going to have to pack cigarettes, never showed up again for a couple of days, and never explained where he was, just blamed me for it, and I very well accepted that it was my fault that he wanted to leave. I dropped out of school, but then some nice man, when I went for an interview, said, you're a very pretty girl, but you don't have much intelligence. You can't even pass the math test. So that put a fire under me to go back to school, but they wouldn't take me because I was so truant and bad at school. One, because half the times I was half lit by the time I got to school, so I really didn't give a shit. So I decided to sign myself up to this special program, and I got my GED. I got a halfway decent job in New York City, and I was pretty proud of myself. But the marriage was falling apart. He wanted an open marriage. I didn't want that. Found that the people that I were working with loved to go out Friday nights and drink. I still never found the alcohol taste I liked yet. So whatever anything anybody suggested, I had it. So I can have 10 different things in one night. And I wondered why I got so sick. And I mean from sake to whatever mixed drink they told me. I could remember trying to go home, and I had to take a ferry boat, and the waves weren't really going, but Maria was going from side to side to side to side. Took me all weekend to recover from my Friday night indulgences. Eventually, I dumped my first husband, but my parents moved to Florida, and I was really sad without them, so he offered to take me to Florida if I went back with him, so I accepted that. So once again, Maria changed who she was to get what she thought she wanted, and I did. Eventually, I met Linda, and that's when it really started. That's when the real shit hit the fan. It wasn't her fault, but I was ready. I was ready to obliterate myself. I would say I was pretty suicidal. I would take anything that anybody gave me, including the drinking and the drugs. Actually, I would say that Linda saved my life at least on one occasion when she took the drugs in my pocket and sold them. Boy, was I pissed off at her. Oh, my goodness. And she went off after a while and went somewhere because she really missed her kids. And I felt like there's another person abandoned me. I was mad as hell. I hated her. I was bitter. The violence that I experienced in life, you know, when I was little, my father taught me how to box. He would say, okay, jab, jab, duck, do this, go inside, this way. So I felt like, okay, and my dad said, also, you're a little Italian girl. No one would ever expect it from you. Get your first punch in, get it really hard, and then run like hell. So if anybody crossed me in that bar, because that's where I was most of the time, they would have the wrath of Maria. And I can tell you that I got kicked out of the bar for hitting somebody over the head with a blackjack, which is this little leather thing with metal inside of it, because I was pissed off because they took my car and they were driving it. And they were driving it drunk. How dare they drive it drunk? Oh, my goodness. I never did that. So Linda came back and was court-ordered to treatment, and I found Mr. Perfect again. And his idea of romance was to bring home alcohol and Quaaludes. So what a perfect match. So I stayed pretty much shit-faced during that marriage, and we did it together. But we wind up having a fist. It ended by us having a fist fight in front of my mom, and he threw all my clothes out in the street, and I collected them and went and stayed with my mom for a while. Now my buddy was gone, so I still went out. I still managed to find people that I can drink and drug with. And my parents, my mom and her mom, Linda's mom, decided we were both bad for each other. We instigated each other. And Linda had been court ordered into treatment. So now our parents kept us apart. So I really didn't see Linda for a while. And I really hit some really bad bottoms that she really never saw in me. And I think if she did, she'd probably cry. Even shocked myself when I stuck a needle in my arm one night and didn't care if I lived or died or if you had a gun to my head. I really wouldn't have cared. So ran into Linda one night. There she was. By the way, her ringtone is about sunshine and happiness. And she told me that she got her kids back, the one thing she really wanted. And I'm thinking to myself, man, I can't even take care of my dog. She got her kids back. But anyway, I promised I wouldn't use in front of her. And I had several more years of boyfriends and using and drinking and being ashamed of myself and getting myself in situations that I could have died. And I started praying. I started going to AA with a couple of guys here and there, but I really was looking for Mr. Right. So even though I go into AA, I heard the words. I wasn't going to get in there through osmosis, okay? And but there were some things that made a lot of sense. I also started going to my parents. Well, back up a little bit. My brother committed suicide. My mom and dad died at the hands of doctors. And I actually got called to speak at congressional hearings against an HMO because we felt that their misconduct of using funds in other areas and not taking care of their patients contributed to my parents' death. I really wanted to get sober. I really liked what I heard, but I just couldn't do it because I wasn't willing to do what I needed to do. I wasn't willing to get a sponsor. I didn't want anybody to know. So then I started praying that I would really meet Mr. Wright, the Boy Scout. I met him. And this guy really was a gem, and he still is my gem, 35 years later. I hid my alcoholism behind his back. I felt like I felt dishonest and not quite good because I didn't like being dishonest and distruthful. Inside, I'm really a truthful person, but I couldn't reach that person in me. I found religion. That helped quite a bit. But even that wasn't enough. I did stay sober. I went to an AA group at the church. And they had some different concepts, but it was working somewhat. Started feeling like I hated my husband for some reason. I don't know why. And I decided that my other isms were kicking in. Now I wasn't drinking. I wasn't smoking cigarettes. So I decided I'll start eating. I blew up, and now I'm starting to feel angry because I don't like what I look like. I don't like what I'm doing. I'm feeling this nervousness inside that made me want to kill. And I put myself in a treatment center and found out that I had a lot of things going wrong. My thyroid wasn't working. My hormones were way off. And it actually was a chemical imbalance. So they straightened me out. I stayed there for 6 weeks. And I had a sponsor. I went to NA, went to AA. Picked up my chips, and I was doing quite a bit better, but I just didn't believe I was an alcoholic. I had a lot of, there was a lot of times I was dry. I can't be an alcoholic. So someone said to me, well, go back out and drink, see what happens. So I counted every drink I had. I would become the designated driver and be nice and let my husband go out and drink instead. But he wasn't a big drinker. So if he didn't have more than two drinks, I was pissed off at him. How dare you not have more drinks? Because I'm being the designated driver, and I'd say, that's it. You're going to become the designated driver because I'm drinking. I really don't care. And so that lasted several years, and I had to really take a look at myself, and I wanted to have a baby, so I didn't drink for a while, and had several miscarriages. The doctors told me I would never have a child, and I had to have a hysterectomy. I wound up with ovarian cancer and survived it. I stayed sober during that time, and I still decided that I would try drinking controllably. It just didn't work. So I had to get a serious sponsor who said to me, you're really sick. And I really was sick. And, seeing that my brother was a schizophrenic paranoia. I thought for sure at 27 I would die. I didn't die, but I still never got my life under control. And it took a lot of counseling, a lot of serious counseling, and a lot of deep revealing things about who Maria really was. And I managed to stay sober, but I still wasn't happy inside. You know, I did the steps, but I kind of skipped through them. I really didn't want to get down too deep. You know, I said things like, I stole, I'm jealous, I'm this. But I didn't want to say what I really was. I was bitter, I was angry, I was violent, I wanted to hurt you if you hurt me. I put a wall up in my life that was so difficult to get down. It took many years, but I kept coming back. And I kept coming back. You know, and some days I actually puffed myself up and said how good I was. And I realized I had a long way to go. I still have a long way to go. I got breast cancer, stage 3, and got bitter again. I had to take medication that altered my mind, and I started hallucinating, started having night terrors, night paralysis, physical paralysis that I couldn't get out of bed. I couldn't move. The hallucinations were terrible. Spiders were coming down, eating me. People shooting me in the face with a gun, yelling for help when nothing really came out. And I was really, really bitter. I stopped coming to AA because someone in AA hurt my family and wound up going to prison for his offense. God put another person in my life, and she was truly an alcoholic, but I took her in, and I said to her, you need AA. So I took her to AA, and after a couple of meetings, she stopped coming, but I kept coming back because I felt like I was home. And someone came up to me and said, you need a sponsor. And I was like, okay. So I consulted with Linda. You think I should take her? And she said, absolutely. She put me in my place. She made me realize how far away I had become. I may not have been drinking, but I was dry. And I was bitter. And I was angry. And I didn't believe God could do anything. He took away the fact that I could have children. He took away the fact that I could do this. He didn't give me what I wanted, blah, blah, blah. And she said to me, God is either all or nothing. What is it with you? And I realized God was all in my life. He never left me. He saved me many times. My fourth step with her, I realized one major thing, that I was a victim in my life, that things that were that I couldn't control, and I remained a victim for many years. I didn't realize I was doing that to myself, but I actually taught people how to treat me. And she gave me the advice I really needed to hear. And today, I'm proud of who I am. I may have had a lot of things beat me down, but I'll tell you what, there's not some great evil spirit in the cosmos that wants to see Maria fail. They're just part of the journey. Life is the gift. And I've got the best gift of all, and that gift is love. I learned to re-love my husband. I fixed my marriage. Of course, he never saw it, but that's my husband. He's my codependent. He still says I'm the best thing that happened to him. he forgets all the bad things I did, and he doesn't even care that I lied to him. He just loves me for who I am. It doesn't matter to him. So this is another example of God doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. He brought me my Boy Scout. I did pray for it. It was maybe a little selfish, but I did pray, because God knows what I need before I even ask. I reestablished a great strength in my friendship with Linda, and I'll tell you what, she'll never let me fall, because she'll beat my ass. And my ex-sponsor, she's still close to me, and I don't know what I would have ever done if somebody in this program didn't step up and say, get your act together. And that's what I love about this program. There's kindness, there's toughness, but there's always love. Thank you.